Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Good morning, fellas. How are we feeling here on a Wednesday morning? How are things in the Keyshawn house, in the LZ house? You guys good?
All good, man. I just was laughing at the Oakland Athletics informed the stadium that they wouldn't be paying a $1.2 million tab for their
well,
rent.
I mean,
I just start laughing. I say, well, what you they don't do? Evict them? They blamed it on the pandemic.
You can't evict anybody, right? That's the law. During the pandemic, you can't evict anybody. You can't foreclose on their home. So I guess the A's are taking advantage of that. Yeah, why not,
said,
right?
The A's said, well, we're not going to push that off till 2025.
Yeah, right. Are you gonna try it yourself? Just say, yeah, I'll catch you later, bank. I'll pay you down the road.
Oh man, it's so wild. It was just funny. It's like Major League Baseball, like a team that is a billion-dollar type franchise has got to go to the stadium of the city and say, not this time. Catch me later.
You know what's crazy, Key? You know what jumped out at me because I saw the same story was the number itself. It's, you know, and I'm not talking about for regular people like me and for the guys listening to the show and most just about everybody on earth, but $1 million did not strike me as some crazy amount of money. It's $1.2 million that they didn't pay. And I'm thinking that's how strapped the A's are, that $1.2 million in rent payments, and they're not paying it. I was blown away by that.
Well, I don't know if they strapped or that's just corporate business, you know? It may just be corporate business and how you do it. I doubt that the owners can't stroke a check if they decided to do so. That's just corporate way of doing business. We've seen it many, many years where powerful people with a whole lot of money decide not to do some things.
I guess not. Hopefully that's what it is, and hopefully they're not that low on their balance in their checking account that they can't pay the rent, because that would be bad for baseball. We'll talk about baseball coming up. But, Key, I'm glad you're in a good mood. I'm in a good mood this morning. Fact of the matter is, Horace Grant is not in a good mood. He went on the radio in Chicago yesterday and really went at Michael Jordan. We know that there's some people that have hard feelings about this. Scotty has still not said anything. He certainly feels one way. But Horace went in on Michael, calling it a so-called documentary, saying that Jordan was a snitch, saying a whole bunch of different things about the documentary itself. I mean, it was really telling, because Horace was an important part of that first document, or of the first three-peat that they had.
You know, no, I get it. It's some bad blood there. But, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know what Horace Grant told the media, but I do know what Michael Jordan said about going into a room when he was a rookie and seeing some people having some fun and partying. And at the end of the day, I don't necessarily call him a snitch. I mean, you could call him a snitch. No one knows who exactly
Horace
who
did.
Yeah, no one knows. No one knows who the persons, you know, who the people were inside doing whatever they say they were doing. So, you know, if I was Michael, I probably wouldn't have necessarily said that to try to make myself seem pure. And I think that is kind of what got him and caught him, is now all of a sudden I turned around and I was pure. Now, I've been in those situations as a young player myself, where I've walked into places and decided to say, you know what, that's not for me. But I wouldn't go on air and air it out and say, oh, this is all my teammates. They tried to bring me in a room, and I decided not to do it, and I was a rookie. Now all you got to do is look at the roster of the players on that year and be able to kind of break it down yourself, do a little investigative reporting like an LZ, and you will
certainly. What do you mean like an LZ? That's not even investigative reporting.
If you break down the roster, you can find out, okay, well, he wouldn't be doing that. Oh, he did it. Oh, yeah, he definitely did. Ooh, yeah, he was probably there too. I mean, you can kind of pick your poison.
Look, the fact of the matter is that I think we need to look at this a couple of different ways. Number one, the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, was great. We loved it. It was a really
fun ride. Give me
more. I would absolutely be there with you, Key. I would love to see it again. That being said, Horace Grant's points are really well made. The fact that he's talking about that Michael was clearly, not even implying, Michael said in the documentary about Sam Smith's book, The Jordan Rules, oh, that was all Horace. He just put it out there. And Horace is saying, I absolutely did not do that. If we're talking about snitching, all the points that you just laid out, Key, that is snitching. that the way that he treated people is, you know, was it effective? Clearly it was. Is it great? No, it's not. It absolutely did not make him the most likable guy in the world, and then it alienated him. This was another point that Horace made yesterday about how if you say anything even remotely negative about Michael Jordan, he cuts you off at the legs, and that's it. I loved the doc. I thought it was great. I thought it was incredibly well done. I'm a Michael Jordan fan. All of that said, Horace Grant's points are good ones.
Well, I think they are. I think he got some good ones. I mean, there's always two sides to a story. I mean, you know, you would like to hear Michael Jordan's rebuttal to Horace Grant.
We heard Michael Jordan's rebuttal. We heard it for 10 hours.
No, I'm talking about the rebuttal of what Horace Grant has come out and said about him being a snitch. I want to hear Jordan say, well, I wasn't snitching. I was this, that, and the other. But we're not going to get that, so it doesn't even matter. I'm just saying you certainly would like to have that as part of it. Now, look. MJ is MJ, okay? Some people will never live in his shoes. Some people wanted to live in his shoes. There's always going to be some animosity, some jealousy. There's always going to be some of those things, period. That's the way it is. When I feel like I'm on the same level as you and I'm not getting that respect, then I'm going to feel a certain way. That's just the way it is across life as a whole, especially when you're dealing with people like a Michael Jordan.
Horace went on the radio in Chicago yesterday, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, and had a whole bunch to say. Let's start with this about what Horace was calling it, a so-called documentary.
When that so-called documentary is about one person, basically, and he has the last word on what's going to be put out there, it's not a documentary. It's his narrative of what happened in the last quote-unquote dance. That's not a documentary because a whole bunch of things was cut out, edited out. So that's why I call it a so-called documentary.
I understand that. That's true. And if you've ever done documentaries or you've ever produced them or directed them or anything like that or been a part of them, there's going to be things that are left out, especially when you have control. You're trying to paint a picture. And that picture that needs to be painted is or that picture that's being painted is most likely in that person's mind. OK, whoever's controlling the documentary in this case, for the most part, is Michael Jordan. If you did a documentary about Keyshawn Johnson, I'm probably going to leave out some things that I don't want seen or heard. I mean,
sure.
It's just part of it.
With that being said,
the title of it is The Last Dance. So you certainly are looking for the last dance amongst 12 of your teammates, not two or three, a bit pieces here and there, and the majority of it concentrating on Michael Jordan. It could have been the Michael Jordan's Last Dance documentary, and it would have been seen a little bit different, in my opinion.
Here's the problem from the very beginning, and the great documentarian Ken Burns said it right on the onset. If the subject matter for a documentary is the one greenlighting the content of that documentary, it instantly loses its credibility in terms of being able to objectively tell the truth. And when I first saw him say that, I thought that it was like, oh, okay, Ken Burns is jealous because he wanted the opportunity to do it, and he didn't get the opportunity, so now he's going to hate on it. But as I was watching it, his words were ringing truer and truer. And it started for me with the very conversation of 1991. To not mention James Worthy sprained his ankle after game one, and you went on to win four straight games to win the championship, that's just journalistic malpractice. To not mention the leading scorer from the opposite team was hurt and basically out for the rest of the series, and you went on and you won every game, that's not telling what happened. That's, to your point, Key, painting a picture. But a documentary is supposed to take a snapshot. It's not supposed to leave out the details like that. That's the difference between Made in America, which they were able to do because O.J. wasn't in control of the content. They could just tell the full story.
So let me ask you this, though, LZ. Let me ask you this. Did you like the documentary?
Yeah, it was cool.
Would you? That's not what I asked you. It's a yes or no question, sir.
It started with yeah. That's okay, why I affirmed it.
It's
was
a
cool.
Yes or no. Move on. Would you watch it again? Oh, now you're not going to talk to me?
No, I mean, when it comes to watching it again,
I'm saying now that you know what it is, right? We all know, and if you knew ahead of time, would you watch
it? It's not a rewatchable product for me in the sense it's like reading a book. It's like reading a memoir, which is basically what this is. This is Michael Jordan's memoirs. This is as Michael Jordan remembers these events as told by Michael Jordan, which is great. It was a great ride. It was a beautiful, beautifully produced and put together event. But the fact of the matter is, it's not something that you go. It's not the definitive word on those teams. It's Michael's take on those teams.
I think in describing it, they probably went in the wrong direction on describing it as a documentary of The Last Dance. And how it was shot, in the way that it was shot, in the way that it was put together, in using The Last Dance, is in, to LZ's point, which is he's been hammering home, and I've been giving him grief about it. And when you talk about the 1991 series and James Worthy and leading scorer, if you mention a snippet of that, it changes the whole face of that particular part where you say the Lakers lost James Worthy and we went on to start a run. That conversation is different now. But they refused to – not necessarily refused. They just didn't put it in. And by missing that, it allows the door and window to open for us to criticize that you're not telling the whole story, that it makes it seem as though you're leaving stuff out that should be important parts of the dynasty of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I have nothing but respect for Michael Jordan. I try to shoot my jump shot like Michael Jordan, even at this late age. And
I'm glad you said try. But
at this late age of my career, fellas, I just don't hang out in the air. In fact, the air is very rare for me. But what I will say is this. If you are the person in charge of telling the story, that is one perspective. That's not the story. That's one perspective. And we got a perspective from Michael Jordan over the last 10 episodes. And it was entertaining. And once I accepted that it wasn't going to be objectively told, then it was a fun watch. But to Horace Grant's point, I don't want to call it so-called because there's different kinds of documentaries, but I would say that I wasn't satisfied at the end of it.
So
I would have liked to have seen at least a clip from B. Russ refuting the fact that Michael Jordan said that he didn't.
Well, he
push
wasn't going, but B. Russ couldn't get B. Russ though.
Because there are clips of him already on camera saying as such, so you don't have to buy him fresh.
You're saying go get stock footage.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We'll continue this because there's a whole bunch there, including the fact that Horace said that 90% of this was BS. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so Horace Grant was out on the radio in Chicago yesterday just going at Michael Jordan. And one of the things that he took a great deal of offense to was the way that Scottie Pippen was portrayed. And that seems to be a common theme, guys. That seems to be something that Steve Kerr has brought up, that Dennis Rodman has brought up, that a bunch of guys went out of their way to defend Pip. Pippen really hasn't said anything up until this point. He hasn't promoted it. He hasn't done anything to do with The Last Dance. But let's take a listen very quickly to Horace Grant talking about whether or not he feels that Scottie Pippen was portrayed fairly in The Last Dance.
I have never seen, quote-unquote, a number two guy as decorated as Scottie Pippen portrayed so badly in terms of the migraine, in terms of the 1.6 or 7 second selfish. I have never seen this in all of my life. In the respect of Pip was out there, I think in game 6, could barely walk, getting knocked down on his back, trying to do whatever he could to help that team. And my point is, why was that 1.6 or 7 seconds in the documentary, so-called documentary, about Pip? I mean, MJ wasn't even on the team.
Right.
Why was that in there? I mean, we handled that year fairly well as a team.
Yeah, well, look, we talked about this yesterday. I mentioned.
He preaching. He preaching.
Shut up. I mentioned yesterday that. You know, that they didn't play up enough to me about Scottie's back injury and willing his way But they played up the pizza game, the flu game, but they didn't play up that part. That part to me is you know, that was one of the things I was sitting there, I said, come on, man. You know, I'm saying to myself as I'm watching it, I'm saying to myself, come on, Mike, you know better than that. That part right there should be played up as big as possible because of what happened in
the You're talking about the back injury, Keith?
Yes, it should have been played up because what happened in episodes 1 and 2. I don't know if you remember my conversation on air yesterday about that, where I talked about how Scotty was portrayed in episodes 1 and 2, but over time it built up, so I kind of gained that respect back, and Horace Grant hit on exactly what I said, which is the man is out there willing himself to do whatever he can with a bad back, and if any of you have ever tried to play a sport with a bad back, you certainly would know. But with that being said, you know, LZ, you chime in because I know you got something to say.
Well, I've been saying it, you know, the whole time, which is I'm saying things are purposely left out to lionize someone isn't hating on Michael Jordan, but it's simply pointing out the fact that there's some important things missing. You know, I focused in on James Worthy out the gate because to me, that told me what you were going to do with this story. You don't mention that Clyde Drexler was hurt. Okay, fine. You don't mention that Gary Payton was hurt, that Nate McMillan was hurt and missed games that you won, but when Nate McMillan played, you lost. You don't mention any of that, but fine, whatever. But then you make sure you spend plenty of time.
Some of that stuff wasn't the crux of the story, though.
What?
Gary Payton being hurt is not important to the story?
No, I mean, you can't keep mentioning every time somebody get hurt.
But listen, though, we made sure that every single time that Jordan took us a bite of pizza, we talked about it. So either you could talk about somebody being hurt and playing through it, or you don't talk about somebody being hurt and playing through it.
Yeah,
that was pick and choose to me.
There's two things going on here, and I think that they're both right. Number one, you can talk about Scottie Pippen taking a seat in that game without having been on the team. Michael Jordan has an opinion on one of his all-time teammates sitting down in that moment.
And I don't have a problem with that. That opinion was to Phil Jackson when he said to Phil, Scottie won't rebound for
him. He'll never live this down, will he? I have absolutely no problem with that.
And then he went on contributing to it.
But Horace's point about that being in there, why is it even in there? Because you're telling the story of the Bulls and that run 2-6 championships. That obviously is a landmark in there. So I have absolutely no problem with that being in there in the first place. The other part, I think Horace's point is a much, much better one. And that is that this is the greatest Robin in history, and this guy's nowhere. You're making this guy look like a chump at a bunch of different spots in this thing. That is a bad look, not only for Scottie Pippen, that's a bad look for Michael Jordan to continue to pile on him over and over and over again and not have his back. Because, look, here is a stone-cold fact. Michael Jordan did not win a championship until Scottie Pippen showed up. And I'm not saying that Scottie Pippen is the reason they won all of those. It obviously was Michael first, but Scottie was there for every last one of them. And for him to be marginalized the way that he was is a bad look for Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan's fingerprints are on the dock. Michael Jordan said what he said publicly, and Michael Jordan has done enough to this point that Scottie Pippen won't even talk about this stuff. That's on Mike, and that's a bad look for Mike.
Well, I think that's why MJ decided to forewarn everybody prior to the documentary being released, is that he didn't feel like he would be portrayed as Michael Jordan, the superstar, that people would certainly have these conversations and look at it the way that we're looking at it now. He already kind of knew that. Once he probably sat back and watched a few episodes, he said this stuff, yeah, I don't look so good in this. Let me get out in front of it. That way I can try to change the narrative about the way people are going to view me. You're not supposed to treat Scottie Pippen that way. I mean, you really aren't. You just, he was as important to the Bulls as Michael Jordan was. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Like you said, Jordan didn't win any without him, and he didn't win any without Jordan. So
I would go say even before the championships, remember, they got Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen in the same draft. Lottery picks in the same draft. What is that? What's the typical hallmark of a team drafting in the lottery?
Not good.
Not good. So I would dare say not only was Pippen instrumental in getting championships.
Damn, you said MJ was sorry, huh?
Pip's arrival helped turn the franchise around, because even with MJ, they still were losing, is my point. When he was by himself, they were still a losing team.
Scotty had to know it was going to go like this, though, right, guys? I mean, think about that. Scotty spent years with Michael Jordan. He knew this was coming. He knew that he was going to be portrayed like this because Michael does things a certain way.
I bet you he didn't. That's why he sat down and did the interview. They had to have
Horace Grant did interviews, though, too, Key. Horace Grant and Michael Jordan hate each other.
But, no, they hate each other now. They didn't hate each other before. They just was cordial with one another. Now it seems like Horace Grant has more hate, the fact that MJ called him a snitch on camera for the public to see.
Can I tell you how something? I just looked this up. And I promise you, this isn't about hate. But you know, Michael,
you for the Bulls again, huh?
The Bulls didn't even have a 500 record until Scottie Pippen showed up. I'm looking at it right here. They weren't even 500 until Pippen and Grant showed up.
Well, it's clear that Michael Jordan couldn't will his way to a championship without by himself, and nobody's been able to do that.
I said 500, yo.
So hold on, Coach. Are you saying Michael Jordan's career without Scottie has been 500, or are you just saying the year before?
I'm saying when they
drafted, all the years before
when Michael Jordan was drafted up until Pippen, they never hit 500.
Damn, give me my money back on them shoes, MJ. Go buy me some Pips.
Look, it is funny how now that it's over and now that we've seen all 10 spots, that all of these little stories, whether it's Horace Grant or, you know, LZ, you sent me something this morning about Robert Parrish saying that Michael tried some stuff with him at one point in his career, and Robert Parrish said, no, hell no, we're not doing that. You stay away from me. I don't look at you the way that some of these other guys do. More and more of the pushback on that Michael was able to bully and intimidate everybody, that's coming back more and more and more. And it's inevitable. This is how it goes, that you put something out there and then it kind of sits there for a minute. Everybody takes it in. And then everybody that didn't like what they saw or didn't like how they were portrayed or their position in this starts to push back on the product to begin with.
Well, yeah, it certainly makes you think twice about, I mean, look, Michael Jordan's still one of my greatest basketball heroes, idols, whatever you want to call it, but it certainly makes me question a lot of the motives in the way the documentary was positioned. There's so many different people that had parts in this production, including the NBA. So they're not off the hook as far as I'm concerned either. Even though MJ had to sign off on some stuff, the NBA is involved in it as well, and they had to sign off on some stuff. And I'm sure that they noticed as they were continuing to edit over the time that certain things was being left out that probably should have been told.
Yeah. I mean, but again, as long as you know what it is, then you're okay.
Damn, I'm going back to he wasn't 500, though.
Yo, dog.
This is why Scotty feels the way he does.
You got to clarify this to me, though, LZ. He wasn't 500 at all the year before or through his career pre-Scotty.
The Chicago Bulls. Here, I'm going to do you one better. When you factor in the years before Scottie Pippen, and then you factor in the 2 years with watching the Wizards, Michael Jordan's teams have never been 500 without Scottie Pippen.
No wonder he doesn't want to talk to anybody. We'll continue that conversation. Plus, Dak Prescott wants $45 million a year. Why the hell not? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
How does $45 million a year sound? We're not talking about LeBron. We're not talking about any of the Giannis or any of that. There's a report out there that's saying that Dak Prescott, in the final year of his deal, that in that, not per season, but in the final year of his deal, He wants $45 million in that last season. Key, here's what you've told. Here's what you've told me along the way. The salary cap doesn't matter. They can pay guys what they want. That the end of the contract never gets fulfilled anyway. It's all funny money that it's just done so the agent can say, I got X, Y, and Z. If that's what he wants, why not give it to him if you're the Cowboys and end this thing and just move on?
Well, I don't know if that's all he wants, though. What portion of that does he – is he looking to get guaranteed? Does he just want a number at 45? You can give a number at 65, but what portions of that do you want guaranteed? I'm sure he wants some of it guaranteed, all of those sort of things. And once they guarantee some of it, it affects their salary cap space. Because remember, the Cowboys always wanted to go long. They didn't want us to go short. Mm-hmm. Dak wanted to go short. And if there's reports that are out there that that number on the fifth year is a $45 million number, and if some of it is guaranteed, which I'm assuming he does want some of it guaranteed on the first day of the league year, I don't know what year it would be. It would be like, what are we in, 20? It would be probably like 25 or something like that. The first day of the league year, he wants to get paid or released. So he's kind of putting them in a position that they don't want to be in again. So if they say to him, we're going to guarantee $10 million on the first day of the league year of the $45 million. And let's say Dak Prescott signs a new deal, record-breaking, blah, blah, blah. He gets X amount of money in the first 3 to 4 years. The fifth year, he's due some money on the roster bonus on the first day of the league year. And now, all of a sudden, he's not having the success that they paid him to have, but they're due this bonus, much like the Todd Gurley situation, where now you got to pick and choose what you want to do. Now you've given him money and you've given him an opportunity to leave. If you don't keep him on the roster, you got to pay him and he gets to leave and you get a salary cap hit because everything accelerates on the proration of the guaranteed signing bonus that you gave him in year one that you spread out over those six, seven, whatever, however many years that you've given a contract all accelerate to that year, that fifth year when you let him go. Now you're looking at something in the $20 to $25 million salary cap hit. That's something that you don't want to take on.
And I ask myself this question over and over again. I understand, Key, that it's his turn. I understand that this is what the going rate is. You're telling me Dak Prescott is a $45 million quarterback. That just makes my stomach turn.
Well, it's not. He's not a $45 million quarterback. He's a 30. If you do the math real quick, and they offered him what 31, it is. So he's probably a $33 million quarterback. I get it. That's just the business that we're in, Coach. It's professional sports, and it's his turn. That's what it is.
It feels lazy.
Let me ask you a question. You can't argue, LZ, that it feels lazy. Because that's the way it's constructed. Do you think Amari Cooper's a $20 million receiver?
They're contrary positions. Because if it's as easy as, okay, Amari Cooper's
point that I'm trying to get to, Travis, is LZ said if it's that easy, right? Like it's just all of a sudden it's your turn. It was Amari Cooper's turn. So he got his $20 million a year, so he's in the top three. Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Michael Thomas. Those are the top three paid dudes on average.
It was Jared Goff's turn, he got paid. It was Carson Wentz's turn, he got paid. Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, all these guys, they're up, they're up there, bam. It's his turn, and yet here we are, and it's been over a year where we're still waiting this, and now all of a sudden they're trying to hedge their bet 5 years down the road in that fifth year at $45 million. I mean, if all of these other teams could figure out a way to do exactly what we're talking about, to both have it done now, get their guys paid now, and have both some flexibility and some security for the quarterback at
because
the back
end, Cooper
why
didn't say,
the
Amari Cooper,
not been able
Amari
to do
Cooper
it?
Didn't say, give me $35 million in year four. So you see what I'm saying? Amari
Cooper. This is where the disconnect for me, though, is key, is that I hear what you're saying about Amari Cooper, but I would imagine that Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and all these other guys that have gone in the last year or change or so, they all were asking for certain things. Like you said, these deals are all relatively the same, but this is the one that's not getting done. Where's the disconnect?
The disconnect is between the agent and the player and the team. If the player says, okay, I tell you what, man, whatever, just because you got to be confident in your skill set to know that you're going to get there in the fifth year. you got to be confident to know that I'm going to see them again. If you're confident enough to know that I'm going to see them again, it's not going to matter to you. If you're not confident in you, you know, like, man, I ain't really, no matter what people think about you, you're not confident that you're going to get back to the bank again. So you're trying to cash in security, not necessarily money, but security right now while you have the opportunity. Easy for me to see that Dak Prescott is not all that confident about his abilities beyond the 3 or 4 years that is on the table.
So that's the takeaway. The Dak is not sure he's going to be that guy at the top of the stack his turn 5 years from now. So he's trying to get his
end of the day, which I don't blame him, Travis. I don't blame him because the NFL is not for long. NFL, not for long. So why not secure yourself when you have the opportunity? No football is lost today, okay? Football won't be lost till September. I got all this time to still play with. I got till July 15th to monkey around with. I think it's the 15th of July or something.
Far less time, Key, than they had a year ago. I mean,
that's okay, man. I could do a deal.
In the grand scheme of things, we're down to the final month or month and a half.
Travis.
They had a year and a half. Now it's a month and a half.
I can do a deal in 4 hours. I could do a deal in 4 hours. I could agree to a deal. We could agree to a deal in 4 hours. We could do
4 hours.
Easy. We could do it in 4 hours. We could do it in 4 hours. A conversation, an email, a face to face, whatever you want to do, we can get it done with no time left on the clock. It's not that difficult. They already have certain parameters are in play. I'm sure there's already certain guarantees that are already in play. He's already looking at X amount of guarantees and money. And the rest of it just got to get closed out. So the fact that they didn't do it over a year and now they got about a month and a half to go and it seems like there's a panic that's setting in when it's really not, man. That month and a half, again, feels like you're going through the Holland Tunnel in New York City. It's all day. Takes forever.
I just have such a hard time connecting Dak Prescott's name with $45 million.
I get it. But you'll get Tom Brady 45, wouldn't you?
He's not right now. Man. Hell no.
No, I'm saying you would.
Now,
you would though.
Not now, but I would feel better about it because
yeah,
he's a
you,
made
you
man.
Yeah, you would though. You'd give Patrick Mahomes 45, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah. See? Yeah. I'll start a GoFundMe account to help it out.
Okay.
But when I think about Dak Prescott, I don't think, oh, 45 million. I think good QB. And so this is the reason why I said
it's your turn, baby. When it's your turn, it's your turn. Right?
Look,
what's that award y'all win, LZ, for writing?
The Pulitzer Prize?
Yeah, that thing. So if you get two
that
or three,
thing, LZ.
You get two or three of those, and all of a sudden, I don't know, one of the famous writers that writes for one of these newspapers, they got chipped off because they won one, but you win two or three, and he got paid last year, and it's your turn.
Yeah, but he hasn't won two or three of anything.
You got to remember with the 45 million is the fifth year. The 45 million is not today. It's not year one or two. It's the fifth year.
I understand. Listen, Key, I get it. He doesn't want to be Scottie Pippen. He doesn't want to be at the back end of this contract and go, wait a minute, I'm grossly underpaid. I'm better than that guy. I get all of that. It's just where he is right now, it's so hard for me to envision that at 31 years old, he's going to be worth $45 million, given upon what I've seen today. It's not hard for me to envision Lamar Jackson. It's not hard for me to envision Patrick Mahomes.
No, but it's bad though.
Yep.
It's bad when they condition your mind to believe that this dude ain't a good, solid quarterback, man.
It's not that he's not good. It's that he's not good. The absolute best. There's a huge difference.
But who's better, though?
I just gave
Patrick
you an example.
Okay, that's one dude. It's 32 teams.
Deshaun Watson is better. There's a whole bunch of guys that are better than Dak Prescott.
Here's what I'm going to say. Deshaun Jackson.
That's Michael's brother.
Deshaun Watson is more exciting than Dak Prescott.
And he's won more divisions. And he's won more
points. Don't get into the divisions because the Super Bowl winner came out of their division. So let's not act like the division was just garbage.
All right, we'll find out what does matter. Plus, did Key go back-to-back in the snake draft? He might have. We'll do it next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Yesterday.
Oh, Travis.
Is it? Which one? Key, which one?
Say what?
I said which one?
Well,
it's you don't even know the name of it.
I felt like
it's KRS-One, man. What are you talking about?
It's Criminal Minded by Boogie Down Productions. Criminal Minded,
Boogie Down Production, KRS-One. Yeah.
All right.
That's some old school stuff, man. You know, you ain't gonna really hear that too many places.
This is when I started to get angry, Travis.
What are you angry about?
Well, don't do him like that, LZ. Travis is good with us.
I'm just saying, I was angry at Travis.
Oh, it's one of those songs that you're gonna make you guys angry at me.
Yeah,
is that where we're headed?
It ain't your fault though.
It ain't your fault.
You know, it's like walking out of the movie theater. It's like walking out of the movie theater after you didn't do it. Yeah, it's like, hey, Travis, like walking out of the movie theater after you see 12 Years a Slave, you know?
Yeah, I didn't do that either. I'm not responsible for either one of those things.
Travis, you're good with us.
You're good with us, man. Don't worry about it. We straight.
You were on the ground floor.
You know, so funny. I was sitting there with 12 Years a Slave watching. Well, I think I told you the story before. I'm there with Jennifer, who happens to be Caucasian, white, or whatever you want to say. Sitting there with her, and I'm the only brother in the whole theater. You got a whole bunch of white people. They walking out the theater looking down at the crowd. I'm like, man, don't worry about it, man. They ain't got nothing to do with y'all. That's so long ago, man. We good. We straight.
I appreciate you making us feel a little better about it. I'm not going
to
lie.
I did it the opposite way. I looked at him. I stared him in the face.
Hard eye contact.
And she crying. She got her drippy tears. You know, she got her little tears and stuff. So it's so sad. I can't believe. I said, girl, you ain't got nothing to do. That was like your great, 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 greats. Don't even trip.
And I said, hell yeah, it's sad. It was sad then. It's still sad today. That's right. Uh-huh.
Remind me not to go to the movies with either one of you. If I had to pick, I want to go with Key. Key's going to make me feel a little more comfortable than you, LZ. We'll go see like a Pixar or something. Something light and fun.
Yes. It's always fun when you're in the lead, Raj.
Did he go back to back?
No, he didn't go back to back.
We do have a shakeup at the top, and of course we did our the morning show snake draft poll on what ball hit, famous ball hit or favorite ball hit at people, and Keyshawn has a resounding 67% of the vote. There's been a record of finally someone gets only less than double digits of the votes. I believe that was you, LZ. You got 9.4% of the votes.
Jeez.
Congratulations. And Travis had 23%. So it looks like just a few minutes left. I don't think anyone's going to overtake.
Do y'all want to concede now? Or what do y'all want to do?
You can play Key's victory music if you want, but he has four victories along with LZ Granderson.
No, that's fine. He can have the win. That's fine. I'm very comfortable with the position that I'm in because I know that about 25% of the people – what did I get, Raj? You said 23%,
24%. 23%, yep.
About one out of four people actually get how things work, so that's about the people that voted for me, and that's about right.
No, it's our time. Fine. It's our time, though, Travis. Me and LZ, we playing what you want to play, tennis, LZ, or you want to play ping pong? What you want to bat it back and forward? Because he on the sidelines.
Let's play keep – we're playing keep away.
Yeah, so keep away. We're going to play keep away.
We're
going to play keep away. You the little kid, and we the big bullies. Keep away.
Nah, I'm fine.
Travis, have you won since the last dance started airing? That's what happened.
You probably hadn't won anything since we left the studio.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I win. I bet you we added them all up, and not in the snake drafts, but in all the last man standings and everything else. I am very comfortable with all of my wins. Comfortable.
So you got to change the goalposts in order to get a victory. Okay.
When you look at some of the people that I selected in my bald head snake draft, you certainly have got to think about guys like Shaquille O'Neal. Okay. Yes. I mean, that there is a giant. He's on TV. People know who he is. He's out in front. Then to top it, you took Ballmer, who owns the Clippers and the arena that's going up in Inglewood, amongst other things. But I took the man himself.
Dude, I had the Dalai Lama. If people can't vote for the most peaceful man on earth, I don't know what to tell you. They're going in a different direction.
Jeff Bezos decided to give about $80 billion away to his ex-wife, and still got a $200 billion or something. So
it, he's closing in on a trillion.
Yeah, so
I think the ninth pick overall in the draft, Keyshawn took Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, you've got the Fast and Furious. You got the movie. Yeah. I mean, that was
I got people that's clearly relevant in society today.
I think I ended up exactly where I was supposed to be. I selected Charlie Brown. He's a perennial loser, and I lost. So I think when I think about it, I kind of got what I deserved. I picked up Charlie Brown, and then I think Amber Rose actually worked against me.
I didn't. Nobody knows damn Amber Rose. Well, what was you trying to do for people in Atlanta?
Social media.
You speaking? Yeah, again. Well, on our show, some know Amber Rose, but it ain't like that.
How you know? Well, there's no
some
research.
People on the show listen to the show. How about on the show? I mean, good luck.
I mean, yeah, but you not pick. He did some old. Never mind. You know, LZ. What? LZ gonna go that route.
I did some hood stuff.
Not only hood. You gonna take a lady. You know you. You gonna try to mix it up with us.
Right now, Amber Rose has 19.9 million followers on Instagram.
I get it.
So this notion I picked a nobody is a little bit
and
out
you
of
got, and she got 19 million and you ain't get a vote. Now, one person voted for you that was a fan of hers.
I don't know what the crossover of her 19 million people are, the people that listen to our show, but obviously it's not a very high percentage.
Exactly.
The percentage is pretty low.
Y'all should see this Instagram account, though.
I don't need to see it, man. I know what it looks like.
It's fire.
Real talk.
She snatched back power to you, huh, LZ? Happy anniversary, LZ. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Happy anniversary. All right. I had to clarify which anniversary. I got it right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I take people behind the curtain this morning. LZ told us in the show meeting that it was his anniversary. Keyshawn, I was like, well, what's fun? What kind of anniversary? Because you got a lot of things that, you know, happen in your life.
And Travis is the only one that had any common sense. Congratulations.
I just need clarification, LZ. Yes.
When you hear the word anniversary, isn't about 95% of the time we're talking about a wedding anniversary?
Not with LZ, man.
Not with LZ.
You would think, Travis, you would think, but I understand these gay folks get married and still new. I understand. It's still new. So you got to get used to it.
No, but I just thought I didn't know. I just asked a simple question.
Or hey, let's switch up the beat a little bit because I wanted to, you know, I want to celebrate right.
Uh oh.
Hey, there we go.
Woo! So are you gonna, 5 years, right?
We've been officially married for 4 years. We've been together for over 11.
And you've been knowing it for how long?
There you go.
So many little subsets of what we're actually getting at. It's very confusing. You guys going to go have like a dinner in the backyard? There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. Do you have like a little a nice moment in the yard, in the kitchen? What happens?
I mean, you hear the song, don't you?
Yes.
Move along.
All right. There you go. That's all you need to know.
Oh, yeah, that's all I. Trust me, that's all I want to know. I was thinking more about. Oh, yeah, never mind. Let's move on. Man, Tom Brady's having more workouts in the park. You guys see him out there with his guys? They had a little impromptu workout out there.
Yeah, you know, hopefully they're at a high school, not a park.
That's right.
Some school because, you know, running around on parks, you get those holes and mess around and twist your ankle or something. But it's always good to see players back out on the field doing some stuff. Tom Brady, shoulder pads and helmet, trying to get used to feel the pads again. You know, it's so interesting because I never thought that even really mattered, that you put your gear on.
I remember you saying that you didn't really participate in those sorts of things, but they had to play. I mean, it was Brady, it was Mike Evans, Ryan Jensen, Scotty Miller, Cam Brady, O.J. Howard, a whole bunch of people were out there.
No, it didn't. You know, I guess when you have a new quarterback, you want to get familiar with him. There's no OTAs, so this is the next thing. Best thing they can do into such due time that they'll be able to go into the facilities. The facilities opened up, NFL facilities opened up yesterday with minimum staff being allowed back in the building. So I can see why he would put things together, so that he could, you know, meet his teammates. They could throw. They can get on the same page. So they're not 100% behind. They're only a fraction behind when training camp starts.
All right, we'll talk more about Tom Brady and his workout at the school coming up in just a little bit. Happy anniversary to you, LZ, and Steve. And Horace Grant is pissed. He is letting people know that 90% of what you saw is not how it went down. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.